Okay, let's learn. Should be a schus for the Fakiv Yosef ben Natalia and Eliana Zahava bas Natalia, and if we're shlema for Brian Delay bas Yehuda Sariella, the families, the panosim for the year, and they don't want people even to hear their names, but they're doing wonderful things for all of us in the shav. Only simcha nachas and bracha. Okay, let's learn. All right, we're on page Resh Vav.
In this Kuf edition. Pe Aleph.
Kuf Pe Aleph in the other edition. Either Resh Vav or Kuf Pe Aleph. We began this perek last week. As we've seen through the Sefer, Mishpach Hashem, last week we learned that it has a haskama for Menachem himself, the Sefer. It's an amazing thing. Story. We learn every now and then in the Sefer that Tzaddik brings almost like a spontaneous outpouring as a way of helping us to get a taste of what it means to daven in this way of his bardus. And then he returns to the program. And there's something very special about it. It's unusual, but I don't want to skip it because I think it's very important. So we began this tefillah. It's focused on the inyan of achila, of eating. And we're in the middle of page Reshvav, where it says, Zek kosho gam letzura sa achila bravtonus bahal ota, yam kol ramach evari vishasa gidei. He says that he's admitting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as part of this tefillah, that I'm not only hungry necessarily when I eat, that I have this lack of control that I'm eating even though I'm not hungry, which is itself bad enough, and I don't need to eat. I'm not hungry and I don't need to eat. But even the way that I eat, under those circumstances, it's not just that I'm not hungry and I just have this taiva of achila, even though I don't need to eat. Gam tzuras achila, the way that I eat. It's the way that I eat. Bravtonus. Bravtonus means fressing. Bravtonus means like some, I'm not hungry, but I'm eating like somebody who's hungry. Ever see such a thing? You could open them woods. Yeah. Shkai. Eating in a way that's I'm not hungry, and I'm eating in a way that is bahalota, or swallowing, gulping down food, eating too much at one time. And my whole metzias is involved, is engaged in this ma'ase achila. Not that I'm eating something, more like kla'ar hayad. I'm investing my entire being in this inyan of achila, of eating. The mehiras, eating too quickly. Bezrizas mufla and nil asim and nechanim, in a very, very wondrous way. I go through food very quickly. I'm sure if we would have seen this tzaddik, it wasn't anywhere like he's describing. He's just so humble. If he would see us, it would be a big bizayin. He's talking about himself, that he eats in such a way. I try to squeeze out all the. I rush, but at the same time, I'm trying to get the taste out of of everything because I'm such a bal taiva. I don't want to miss out on anything. Again, you could apply this to any inyan. He's just using eating as an example. So he wanted to share this with us, his avoda. But it's like that with anything. The ikar of his bardus is honesty. It's honesty. Just talking. It's an amazing thing. I was zeicher to be in Yerushalayim a few weeks ago, my wife and I. And I went to a place where there's a there's some bachrim that are being helped. They're going through some therapy. They're struggling with certain addictions, certain inyanim. And I went to see one of the bachrim over there that I know. And I was talking to him about his Seder Hayom. Like, what does a day look like? What's your day? So they daven's whatever, but then they spend 4, 5, 6, 7 hours a day talking honestly and openly with each other, just from hearts, you know, like from their heart, things that have kept closed all their lives, and they sometimes start yelling, and there's an adult, there's a professional that's, you know, that's there with them. But hours and hours a day. And I was thinking, could you imagine if we would actually do that? Like, just to be honest and talk openly about things that, I'm not saying to go, not that you have to go for $300 for 45 minutes with a therapist. That's something else. I'm talking about just to be able to have a chaver toiv or chaverim, you could be yourself and talk openly what you've been through, what's on your mind, and your anger, your disappointments, your happiness, whatever it is, all of your inyana. And with these, and what he was doing, I was talking to this bacher and some of the other chaver, what they're describing, it's like it's mamish, how they're growing from it, how they're changing, and how they're growing. It's we could all use that. And what we're learning in this last parak and this parak is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a chaver tov. It's hard because we don't see him with our eyes. And even though in all of Tanakh and Tarsh B'Chsav and all of Tarsh Wapak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us like what's on his mind, he is sharing with us all the time. He's telling us what's on his mind, but we don't feel it as directly as if you're sitting in front of somebody and talking, but really, Hashem is unbelievably open and honest with us. He's sharing with us what's on his infinite mind all the time. When we learn Torah, he's sharing with us what's on his mind. And his part of this is when we share with him and talk to him. And when you talk to people that go through this, like this therapy, the Yeshua doesn't necessarily mean that somebody has an answer for him. Like for this guy, like it's not like someone says, oh, I know what you could do. You know, you need to go up to your Rebbe from fourth grade and to tell him. It's not like an Eitzah. Because he's suffering from his Rebbe from fourth grade. It's not like an Eitzah. The fact that you're able to be yourself and to talk and not to be afraid that someone's going to think of you like this or criticize you like that, or you're going to be looked at. There's nobody like HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we could talk to in such a way, Ad Kedekach. And that's what this is about. To come to say to Hashem, Ani Yodeo Amevenes HaMadrega Shali. I know who I am. I know my Madrega. I know what I've done wrong. Havakoshli Ma'od Levato Akach. But it's so hard for me to let go of this. So we're talking about eating. It's so hard for me to let go. I was saying this last night, you know, we still have this, those piles of shalchman. It's not like this. I never eat during the week chocolate. I never eat stuff. Even Shabbos, I mean, I have a piece of mezonos, you know, before benching, I have a little mezonos. But like not to eat chocolate bars. And every night since Purim, I find myself like in the kitchen, like dipping into like some chocolate stuff. And I said to my wife last night, and we were at a chasna, we got back last night, late from the chasna. And I'm going like in the kitchen. I see, I'm looking for Shalach Manis over there. Shane's here almost 2 weeks after Purim. I'm still with the Shalach Manis, you know. And I said to my wife, this is terrible. What's going on? It's crazy. What am I going for a chocolate bar at 12 o'clock at night to have a piece of chocolate? Ah, a bar. Take a piece of chocolate. Bechlal, not hungry. There's no Indians, just stam a taiva. For what? For nothing. Nothing, because it's here. It's here, because Shachma is. So, a person has to be able to talk to Hashem as Baruch, openly and honestly, about these, about Avakoshim, Levat Al Kach, the things that you get used to, you get into a habit. A little piece of chocolate is not such a big deal, but to, we have habits in our lives that you get stuck in them. It's hard to let go of this pleasure that I'm having. So he's saying to Hashem, even though sometimes I just give in. But there are times that I have this rutzen to hold back. So I know, but just by sharing this embarrassing thing with you about the chocolate, so I know already tonight it's going to be good. Tonight, as Asha, Shadavim from Yashiv Maslir. Stay away from the chocolate. It's not good. But, so sometimes I have this rutzen, lifreish ma'at, to stay away. Miadani sam lay shle barley maani bemis sarh umaani rotsa. But I realize that it's come to a point in my life that I don't really know exactly what is it that I need and what is it that I want. Think about that when it comes to eating. My father in law shalom, I never ever saw him ever in my life eating something between meals. Ever in my life. I never saw him eat something between meals. And if my mother wasn't there to give him the meal, or my sister, he didn't eat that either. I never saw him open a refrigerator in my life. My sister will tell you, we never saw my father in our lives open a refrigerator, ever. Or a cabinet, ever. If nobody was there, he just went on. Not because he had some thing that he has to be served, that he's King Henry VIII. He had no ego, like, no ego. It wasn't an Indian. It was, mommy takes care of me, and she's not mommy's idea, so I'm not hungry. Right. But I never saw him snack, ever. By a meal, if there was some raisins, or there'd be a dessert, some almonds or something, he would have it as part of the meal. But I can't recall ever once seeing him stop sitting down, if it wasn't breakfast, lunch, or supper. I never in my life saw him opening a lollipop or a candy. He liked ice cream, my father. He liked ice cream, but he only ate it in a milchik's meal. When it was a meal, my mother would give him ice cream, and he had pleasure from the ice cream. It was one of the few things that he would say to me, this is not good. He would say, this is not good. But I never saw him have an ice cream, just walk into the house and go into the freezer and take an ice cream, ever. Saw such a thing. And it wasn't because, you know, he saw it in the Sefer. Or he was like trying to outside Tzidkus or something. If you would ask him, I know what he would say. I don't need it. I ate today. It wasn't like an Indian. It wasn't an Indian. That's why he couldn't understand. I remember because my sister got into this whole dieting thing because she was worried about her weight, you know, in high school. My father said, why don't you just stop eating so much? Just the Mordechai Weinberger diet. Why don't you just eat less? I said, but yeah, but I, you know, my father says, if you're not happy about how you, if you don't feel good, then don't eat it. So that was the, you don't have to, there's a whole section in the bookstore on dieting. That's, you don't have to get, not even a page, just one sentence. Stop doing it. But we got used to giving into it. We got used to giving into the tithes. I asked my uncle, because I was wondering if my father was like that before the war also, or it was just after the war. It was always these things. I always had a cash, these and huggies. And my uncle said that, because my uncle was also like that. Same thing. And my uncle said that's how it was before also. That wasn't from the Milchama. There are other things we picked up from the Milchama, but that wasn't from the Milchama. That was, as he said, their father was also like that. I don't know how much snacking was going on back then, and you know, but to begin with, but there's no Indian. Chalal, not an Inyan. So what happens to us, this is what he's saying, is that I don't know, what is it that I need and what is it that I want? A person needs to eat, you have to eat. A person needs to have something to drink, you have to drink. But that difference between what is it that I need and what is it that I start my want, that's very hard to know. Because over time, you fool yourself. You convince yourself that I need this. And there's nothing my father would always do. If we said a lesson like that, I need to put the air conditioning on, my father would say something like, you want to put it on, you don't need to put it on. It was like it was 95 degrees and humid. So that didn't qualify in the house. You want to put an air conditioner, and then like we never had air conditioning. You don't need the air conditioner. But you want to put it on, put it on. But don't say you need air conditioning. You need. Is chilukim of how we got confused over time with what we want and what we need. Lefamim noachli, tovli laharis heter, la'aves es emes. So he's saying a lot of times what I'll do is I'll distort the truth because I want something and I convince myself, kilo, I need this. But I don't really need it. This is one of the terrible problems when it comes to this type of eating, hashekem. All of the lies that go into it, all the falsehood that goes into it. That distinction between what I need and what I want. This is based upon the Kutamara. My name is Shakir Asachim. I'm deluding myself. I'm lying to myself. I'm not being honest with myself. Ani rochak mehemes. I'm so far from the truth. Even when I know the truth. I'm so far from living the truth. So even when I'm able to come to that place of the truth, I'm able to say, I don't need this. I don't need this. It's just a type. I still give into it. I still can't stop myself. Ani roa, shani lo margish, lo chayis amesiyas. It's clear to me that I'm not, ani lo margish, lo chayis amesiyas, that I'm not living, I don't feel reality, I'm not living in reality. Ha'havai elukus shalcha, I'm not living the reality of you, of godliness. I'm not living in that reality. I'm living in the reality of my guf, not in the reality of my nisham. I'm living in the reality of my guf. I'm completely in that metzias of the guf, not the metzias of my neshama, not the metzias of elokus. I'm the metzias of my body. I'm a malakol alma. The Baruch Shem, your metzias is a malakol alma, fills all worlds with sevevs kolam and surrounds all worlds. Place also poni mimena. There's no place that's not you. But I'm not living that metzias. I'm living the metzias of my body. I'm not living the metzias of that reality. Of elokus, that is everything is elokus. I'm not living that metzias. Ki taivas achila mevia hestapanim. So Rabbi Nachman says that this taiva of achila causes a person to experience hestapanim in his life, to feel that God is hidden from him. And the explanation is very obvious. As I was just saying, that when a person's metzias is only with, when a person is giving into that metzias of everything being his taste, what he tastes, what he smells, what he chews, what he physically is experiencing, then to that degree that he throws himself into that reality of the guf, there's a ha'aloma, there's a disappearance, there's a concealment of the elokus, of the neshama, of the ruach. That's how Hashem made us. And taivas achil, as we spoke about last time, is the beginning of all taivas, and really is the ovi ovis of all taivas is taivas achil, and it's one of the hardest ones to control because you have to eat, so you don't have to smoke, you don't have to drink. But taivas achil, drink. I mean, look at it. But taivas achil is you have to eat. So if you're addicted to food, if you have a problem with eating, you can't just go cold turkey, because you have to eat. So it's not like other things. You have this also in the inyun you have with the husband and wife. If a person has a problem that he's not well with that inyun of that sugya of how a person should behave in kedusha, but he's married and he wants to have a married life to live a normal life, but at the same time he has all kinds of problems with that sugya. I'm trying to be sanu about this, but so it's like that with eating. It's not like you're smoking, you stay away from cigarettes. Drinking, you stay away from a drink. But when it comes to eating and it comes to that inyan of a husband and wife, so there's if you're married, so then what do you do? It gets much more complicated. And it's much harder to be honest with yourself, to be in a place that's real. And it's much harder to be in control, because you can stay away from drinking the rest of your life. You don't have to have a cigarette the rest of your life. All right, you go somewhere, you smell it, it's a taiva, but you don't have to have. No one's telling you that you have to smoke twice a week. Person has to eat every day. You have to smoke, so you don't have to smoke. You don't have to have any drink. You don't have to have drugs. But when it comes to other things, to gamble, so you don't go gambling. You know, stay away from it. But when it comes to this inyan of achila, and the inyan of husband and wife is also called in Tanakh. It's also lashon of achila. Because that's the inyan of yesod, which is chai, which is life itself. Life itself is. And that inyan, it's hard to tell a person, not only like this and not like that. So if a person has a sickness, it's very hard for them to control that. You can't tell a person who has an addiction to food, listen, only eat what's healthy for you. He hears that, but he can't. He says, I don't know how to do that. Once I start eating, even if I'm having a piece of cantaloupe, it takes me on to something bigger and better. I don't know what to do about that. Cantaloupe is fine, but I don't know. I don't stop over there. Because once he has a taiva, and he gives into the taiva, so it's very, very hard. That's why taiva sachila maybe hestapana. Rabbi Nachman says that taiva sachila brings a person to a life of hestapana, being very far removed from the ruchnius melukus. He becomes a very magushim dika person. Because in his way of thinking, it's not like he actually is thinking about this, but there's either the ruchnis or there's the gashmis. And since the taivas achila is very strong for, and he's giving it to that mitzias of gashmis, so then he's not paying attention to the ruchnis. This has to pun. Doesn't mean that Hashem is running away from him. It means that he's hiding from Hashem. And that's what happens. It has to pun. Page Rei Zion. Hayira. And Mimela, if a person is coming through a hest upon him, it's very, very hard for him to feel any kind of a love or a fear. And that, then when a person doesn't feel any connection to Hashem, then it's much easier to chas v'chalil to do aveiros, or not to want to daven or to keep mitzvahs. You lose things. So he's asking Hashem, so what should I do about this? Chazal have told us in so many places that of all the midas that we say of Hashem, which we don't know what they really what they mean, but when you say all the midas of Hashem, the seal of Hashem is true. What was that? That is the mid of Hashem that's the strongest. So if I'm dishonest, I'm not honest about my life, I'm not honest about who I am, then how honest can my davening be? What do I mean when I'm davening? Rabbi Shalom, Echavakesh ve'ezak ve'espala. Rosham, how could I ask you for things? How could I cry out to you and daven? When I know that in terms of how I feel, I'm just going to go on with the way that I live. So how can that? So I'm supposed to daven to you that you should help me with this taiva, that I shouldn't have such a taiva with eating. You should help me with this taiva of eating. But I don't really, and I don't really want you to answer that for you, because I'm going out with the guys tonight to eat. So if you're going to answer that tefillah, please make sure it's after dessert. What are you supposed to say? I don't want to have this taiva sachila after supper. But I'm going out with the chevet to eat. So just so this whole thing is, he's saying is, it's not honest. I'm asking you to help me with my taiva sachila, but do I really want you to help me with that? I enjoy eating so much that I don't want to lose that pleasure of eating. I don't want to have less pleasure eating. I enjoy that. I don't want to have less pleasure. It's hard. It's a taiva sachila is a hard thing to talk about nowadays because there's so many taivas that are forbidden. Very few people that were raised in a religious home have a taiva to eat something that's not kosher nowadays, especially because that's very easy to keep kosher. I met one Borcha many years ago. He came to talk to me, but he's crazy. He goes off. He's a very firm boy, and he was learning yeshiva, and he would disappear every Thursday night to go eat like in McDonald's or something. He was an out-of-town yeshiva, and he had a taiva to eat the tarfis. I said, I never heard this, like a new thing. Why can't you just have a kosher hamburger? When you have to, it's not like, you know, you get a hamburger. You're going to tarfis. You have such a thing, you have tarfis. But otherwise, it was the only time I ever heard of such a thing. The person was crazy with tarfis. Otherwise, it's just an abundance of food or unhealthy food. Because nowadays, you can get kosher. Even out of town, you can find something that's kosher. It's not like it used to be. So it was hard to get kosher food. So if I'm going to have nowadays, you have somebody that comes to talk to you that he has all kinds of taivas asuras. He has taivas of things that are forbidden. He also has taivas achila. All of us would just say to him, eat. It's okay. You like to eat. Just stay away from the other stuff and just eat. It's okay. You like to eat. That's halavai. Like when I grew up, our rebbeim used to go crazy with baseball. I had rebbeim that they hardly spoke a word of English. But everything was with the baseball. You're watching the goyim's baseball. And what kind of Jew watches these goyim running around? It was like they were every day knocking the baseball. They didn't know they got on to other seasons. They only knew it was baseball. The Yankees, the rebbeim yelling Yankees. Nowadays, you have a bracha that likes baseball. You tell him, wow. You make it l'shem yichuk shpichu shchintay and enjoy. But they were yelling at us with baseball, they were hacking us with baseball. When I was growing up, everybody was making fun of baseball, that you go watch baseball, that's what you do. You spend your time watching baseball. You have to thank Hashem as well if you have a kid that watches baseball now. Because there's so many crazy things going on. So this is a hard thing to talk about with the Tavshin Pei base, Taivas Achila. What's the matter? It's kosher. People, if I go to a high school and we'd read a little bit of this. They said, what, it's not kosher? What's the matter? It's not kosher. It's kosher food, so why can't you eat it? Yeah, but what about the taivas achila? It's kosher. By the way, there are adults that look at life like that also. It's kosher. What's the problem? Is it something that's not kosher? The whole inyan of to live a life of ilokus, to live in that mitzias of the neshama, to live in the mitzias of the bari olam, not to live in the mitzias of your stomach. To live in the mitzias of ilokus. It's the beginning of all taivas achila. So he's saying, so I'm davening that I shouldn't have a taivas, I should have less taivas. I don't even mean that. I want to enjoy my food. I don't really want to lose this time. There are people that during COVID, they lost their ability to taste food. Some people that still can't have that back. I know somebody that it's already almost 2 years, he hasn't tasted anything. It's kvela. It's a terrible thing. I knew a guy that when I grew up, that when we lived in Queens, he was beaten up by a couple. He was mugged. And he was beaten up very badly. And he was smashed in his head or his ear or something. He hasn't tasted anything since that day. He went to every doctor. They couldn't. They can't give him back at time. There's no taste. That's terrible, klala, to have such a thing, to live like that. It's terrible. So we enjoy it. We enjoy food. And we enjoy the taste of food. So what he's saying is, and the Baruch Shalom wants us to eat, he wants us to enjoy. We're talking about here when things are already not healthy and not in the right way. So how am I supposed to daven the Baruch Shalom, you should help me? And the truth is, I really can't imagine living without having this sushi or... Now the latest thing I see is this beef jerky. You see what's going on with this? Oh, maybe that's done now. I saw that recently, this stuff. I never knew there was a kosher thing called beef jerky. I saw it in the stores when I was growing up that they used to have in the candy store, the goyim used to have. I never saw now this kosher jerky, beef jerky. It's raw meat, I think. I don't know. It's not cooked or it is cooked. I'm not sure what they do. But anyway, they put on a platter. People tell me that a platter like this costs like $100, a platter of this. Of the stuff, and they sit down chewing like cows on a piece of raw meat, or I don't know, not cooked, or maybe it's not raw, but it's not warm. I'm not sure what goes on over there, but all different types of beef jerkies. There's already time Chaim Zoch already for Shabbos to have a time of Shabbos in the piece. So every day thinking of new things. So. It says at the beginning of Yeshaya that you're going to reach such a point that you're not going to, that your heart is going to be fat, and your eyes are not going to pay attention, and your ears are not going to be able to hear. In other words, I've given in so much, I've indulged so much in this taiva of achila that I honestly don't feel that it bothers me, really. I mean, I don't feel that I could stop. I don't feel that it's a little hayali lev. So now he's davening with Baruch Hu, give me a heart. If I had a heart, if I still had my heart, I would be screaming from the depths of my heart. I can't say those words, the depths of my heart. The depths of my heart. We're the depths of my heart. Look on our heart. Give me a heart, I should feel from the depths of my heart. The Chavetz Chaim couldn't lie on a bed the whole time that it was World War I. You know that. Because he said, how could I? I'm thinking about the guys that are out at war. He couldn't lie in a bed. You know, there are thousands and thousands of people that they don't know what they're going on with their lives with this business with Russia, Ukraine. They're dragging around and we all go. But at night, it feels good, the mattress and the pillow. No? The people that don't have a place, that they're finished, that their homes are done. They're walking around. They don't have a home. That's good. We could sleep very nice. It doesn't bother. We think about such things. Again, the taiva sashena, right? The taiva to sleep. It's a huge taiva, the taiva to sleep. Tremendous. It's very much connected to the taiva sachil. Very connected. We eat a lot, you sleep a lot too. They're very connected. The type of the sleep. Beyond what a person. And then the person says, I need this much sleep. And are you sure? Maybe you just want to sleep. How do you know you need that much sleep? So this person will always find some study that shows that you have to have, like, it's not enough to have 6 or 7 or 8 hours. Like, there's some new study that came out. I don't know how the study came out, because those people are usually sleeping, the ones that make the study. But some study came out, I guess when they were up, they made a study that says that you have to have such and such amount of sleep. And then if you say to this person, I've never heard such a thing, that you need to have 8, 9, 10 hours sleep. And this is the one Rambam everybody knows, you know, and to have sleep. And then he said, but I'm different. I need that much sleep, because I know that if I don't have that much sleep, I can't function. These diburim, How do you know for sure this? You made these chilukim between what you need and what you want. There's a taiva to stay in bed. There's a taiva not to do anything with your life. There's a taiva to be lazy. There's a taiva to just to stay. What is that taiva? What is it? Why does a person come late to Shul Shabbos morning? Or any morning? What are you coming late? What are you walking around? What are you doing? You're staying in bed for an extra 5 minutes. The taiva to stay in bed. It's a very strong taiva. If the person doesn't even feel that there's anything wrong with that, there's anything bad about it, he just convinces himself, I need to do this. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't need. Maybe you're just fooling yourself. Maybe just about taiva. How do you know that you need that? You want that. Do you want that? I told you many times over the years about the ma'aseh with Rabbi Shlomo Kalina when he was a little boy, and he was running with a piece of bread, and he was crying. He was a little boy, and somebody stopped and said, Shlomo, what's the matter? He said, I'm hungry. So the person said, so you have a piece of bread in your hand, so eat. He said, no, I heard from the tzaddik that if you want something very, very badly, it's probably not good for you. So he had a piece of bread, but he didn't eat it. He was afraid to eat it. It's such a story nowadays. How do you make a distinction between what you need? What you need and what you want. So you have to daven to have siyata d'shamayim to be able to make a distinction between what you need and what you want. The houses that we live in, we need these houses that we live in. Bemis. I need an extension of this. I need the basement. How is it that when we go to Yerushalayim, we're able to stay in an apartment? Not just for a week or two. We'd be able to live in an apartment. Our brothers and sisters, they live in apartments in Yerushalayim. So you could say, but when you're here, you feel that you need a big house. You have a couple of children, Knein Hara, you need to have a big house. You go into some of these places in Yerushalayim. How is it that they live like that for 500 years, 1,000 years? Okay, Baruch Hashem, I'm not saying people shouldn't have. Thank God there's more room and we could afford to. I'm not saying a person has a little bit simsum. That's not the mahalach of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh to live a life of simsum. But this nekuda of making it, of the difference between wanting and needing, my father was always talking to us about. This nekuda of wanting and needing. Don't say you need this. You want it. But don't say you need this. You don't need this. You want it. That distinction we lose. And that has a huge impact on everything in our lives. Because before you know it, you already need things that are not just extra, but they're also.
This generation is going to need it.
They became needs.
Yeah, this generation is going to need it.
Many of the things that made these things became, they became wired in, and it probably felt already, at this point, it's felt physically.
The country, the houses. We used to go to bungalows. At least we had 2 months of
simple.
Yeah.
No, not anymore.
We don't have air conditioning.
Binyan Benish, Pesach is in 2 weeks. I need to get away for Pesach. What does that mean? I need to go away for Pesach. You know how many times I've heard that? Most people are careful not to talk to me that way at this point. But this mahalach, I need to go away for Pesach. I never in my life heard that until like the last 10, 15 years, maybe 20 years. I need to get away. Some people say, I would like, it would be nice maybe if I took a year. I hear that. But I need to get away for Pesach. What's the matter with you? Why do you need to get away for Pesach? You can't clean your house. You can't make a bedikas chametz. What's the matter with you? You would like to go. That's also kasha, but I need to get away is very, very, very different. Nobody needs to go away unless chasom is something going on. Whatever, there could be a situation like that. But where if your parents, there's no room for the family and whatever, I understand. So you want your parents to come over and you don't have any to sleep in yet. Can't be saying. I'm not talking. Obviously, there are situations. But stam, if everything's okay and you need to go. So you have people that they spend their whole lives being able to be a place where they could already afford to buy a house in the five towns, and then they need to go to Orlando to live in a little place. I don't understand the whole thing. You understand it? I don't understand it. they need to have Disney World, maybe. I don't know what they need over there. Now, the whole Velt is going to Orlando. This became the last few years. I don't know where they're going. Big places? Yeah, but they're going the whole family. They're going with 10, 15 kids. But when you're home, you have your own house. You have your own place. But now, because the Terry says the need to get away from preparing for Pesach is stronger than the need to have privacy and my own bed. Which normally to have privacy is a hush of a thing. And to have your own place to sleep and to relax, it's a hush of a thing. But they have to weigh. What do I need more? Do I need to be free from cleaning for Pesach and shopping and getting ready? Is that what I need more, to be free from that? Or do I need my privacy and to be able to just stay home? What do I need more? So it seems that lately more people are making a choice to just need to get away from Pesach and be free from Pesach. I didn't see it inside, but my daughter told me there was one of the Jewish papers an advertisement this last week. I think she wrote a letter. I don't know what's going to be, but she wrote a letter about it. She's writing a letter where the lesson was that why should you stay here and be burdened with Pesach? Because the lesson of being burdened with Pesach. But Shemai HaGod, it says by the Ben HaRosh, Shema Avodah Zarah Lachem. It says by the Rosh. That's what it says in my HaGod. Be burdened by them. Do you feel that you're burdened by putting on tefillin? You feel that you're burdened by lighting Shabbos candles or by making kiddush? That's a burden. We lost this inyan of in the world of taivas. So a person has such a taiva to relax, such a taiva to have an easy life, such a taiva for menucha that he's prepared to go through Gehenna to have that taiva. It's crazy. Because half of them come back complaining about how it was looking good, like that. So what have happened to your taivas? You went for taiva, didn't you go for taiva? You didn't go there, you should have a kosher pesach, because the likelihood of being kosher over there is much, very, very little. So who kosher? What kosher? What's the rule? So you went for a taiva, and you come back and you're not satisfied. So what happened? You didn't get your taiva? You had your taiva. Your taiva was not to have to deal with your house on Pesach. You didn't want to deal with Pesach. You don't have to face the idea of carrying boxes from the garage, taking out plates and putting them in, or going to get special things to buy, or to have to go down to scrub. And a lot of these people, they have people that work in the house. They have girls that are working for them. When I grew up, we didn't have anybody in the house working. It was my mother, my father, and us, the two of us. That was what we did. And it wasn't like now. My mother had us like old-fashioned. I'm mamish with the walls and everything. It was old-fashioned. With the going over every wall with scraping, with sponges and everything. The walls up to the ceiling. And I would say to my father, how does chametz go there? My father said, just don't argue with mommy. Just do what she tells you to do. I said, there's no chametz there. Nothing over there. You know, the worst things he's allowed to say where it says in Shulchan Aruch that my father says, don't start, just whatever mommy tells you to do, you do. That was the best chinuch in my life. And now the chinuch is, mommy told you to go back to the car and to take it out from the trunk. Didn't mommy tell you? Go to the car. She told you to take it out from the trunk because we have to bring everything in before you enter because we're on the fourth floor. And we have to get everything from the trunk. But the point of the Nakuda that he's making here and that's so important is that this loss of the distinction between needing and wanting, that this became already a need. A Pesach vacation. Pesach was never given to us as a vacation. Pesach's not vacation. Vacation maybe in the winter, maybe in the summer. Pesach was not given as a vacation. It's not a vacation. It was never given as a vacation. The Rishon never said it was a vacation. Who made it a vacation? Business people made the vacation. They're making very good money, and they're preying upon people who have become so weak over time that they can't even think of the fact that they might have to spend a week or two doing something they'd rather not do, being uncomfortable, you know, cleaning or doing something whatever that they'd rather not do.
That's
huh?
I mean.
mean, there are very halacha people who pay the kol whatever you want. Who pay Pesach before Tevet.
Before Tevet is a new thing.
I know, but it doesn't make al pi derech ha-tevet. And you're absolutely right. You know, we, growing up, I never knew of these things. But how does that mean if your person is, if he's doing what he's supposed to do, and this is the nature, then I think you should flush it down the toilet, whatever he's learning, because he's not going yet.
What do you mean?
You're not learning. If you're learning proper, not, you know, person, what you're saying is so true.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but today, everybody would have thought, like you said, and I thought that. What even the thought?
Okay, so but even if you go, it's already a madrega. It's already, if even the person goes, it's a madrega already, at least to laugh at yourself, you know, at least to hold on to some degree of honesty. It's the lack of honesty and self-awareness that's shocking to me. That's what I mean by needing and wanting. It's so then be honest. Be honest. But and again, it's not that I don't forgive people to have a more comfortable life. Isn't that you can afford it and it's nice and you could be with. So they always thought of this speech about how you don't understand because this way all of the cousins can be together. And but their relatives, all the people you never the whole year want to see and you don't have any shaykhs to. All of a sudden, it's important for us to see I want to see my cousin. Because in the lobby, we can sit in the lobby, we'll look at each other in the lobby. Just to tell the truth, you're lazy. You don't want to work. The yontif doesn't mean to you what it should mean to you. Talk open. Talk honest about what's going on. You don't want to have to lift a finger for the Baruch Shalom's tire for his yontif. Talk openly. Say the truth. Make believe we're sitting with the Bachrim in Yerushalayim and we're having a 12-step something therapy and we're talking and scream out of the top of your lungs. Like someone told me that a lady said to him in the supermarket, I hate yontif. So at the, because she's one of the unfortunates that can't afford to. So sit in therapy and scream at the top of your lungs, Baruch Shalom, I hate Pesach. I hate the mitzvah. I hate it. I hate this mitzvah. I like the food. I like the avokaisis. I like the afikoyman. I hate all this other stuff that comes with it. It makes me feel guilty. It makes me feel bad. It makes me feel nervous. It triggers all my anxieties. It triggers all my negative feelings about everything in my life, about all these things. I hate it. I can't stand it. And maybe if we're talking about it, it could get better. But instead, no, I'm looking forward to seeing my third cousin. We haven't seen each other since last Pesach. And we don't have room for my third cousin in my house. So anyway, by the way, even if you'd want to come here, I would never let him into my house because we don't really talk to each other. But my third cousin, we're going to have the opportunity to be together for Pesach. Isn't it wonderful? We can meet each other by the 18th hole. It's the dishonesty of it. That's all. It's the dishonesty of it. So his Hisbardus is a very, very honest time. It's very honest. It's a lot of therapy. A lot of therapy comes with this, but it's a very therapeutic. And that's what the tzaddik here is sharing with us a little bit. I'm sure very exaggerated because he's a tzaddik and he's very hard with himself. But that's what he's saying. But if I had a heart, I could cry out for my heart, but I don't have a heart anymore. I don't have a heart. Libi, he says, Luhay li lev, ha'isi zorik min ha'amiz libi. I have libi otto, my heart is closed, sosum, shot, medushim oinig, is fat from all of the things that it thinks it needs and it doesn't need, it wants. Va'af ha'pichein. That's the main four words. I'm going to go daven. Va'af ha'pichein means, nevertheless, Rabbi Shalom, I came here to talk to you about it. I'm talking straight. Va'af ha'pichein. Those are the main words. Nevertheless, with all of my mishagasim, and I'm so messed up. Va'af ha'pichein, he got the. I'm here. And I want to talk to you about it. That's already a big thing. And that's why I tell the guys, the ones that go to therapy, you know how many times I'm dealing with situations, and so we've all dealt with situations like this, where you could have somebody that's terrible, terrible father, terrible husband, fail what's going on in his life and his family, and you say, you know, you know, buddy, you need some help. He says, I need help. I don't need any help. You know what I'm talking about. I don't need any help. You need help. I don't need any help. Wow. His brothers doesn't give you that luxury. You could tell that to anybody in the world you want. You could give that line, I'm fine, I don't need any help. But you go sit, you're going in Be'emes, you're going for his brothers, and you really believe in the Baruch Shalom, and you come to talk to them. At some point, it could be you could drive around for an hour or two, but at some point you come to Afal Pichein. And then maybe a little tear comes out and says, Afal Pichein. And there are many stories like that, by the way, from the Chassidim. They're very, very beautiful and touching stories like that. About a chassid who's screaming and yelling and fighting and all kinds of problems. But at some point, he just sits down, like the mice with the vision is all mice to see it, and just sits down and he cries and says, you know, baby, I still come to you. You know why I come to you? Because you're the truth. Even though ever since I came to you, I lost my panas. Ever since I came to you, I have no hanah from this world. Ever since I came to you, I have this tzar, I have that tzar. And the chassidim from the other rabbi, they got rich. And the other rabbi gives them all kinds of brachas. And I come to you and you give me instead musr and chassidus, you know. The other chassidim, they get geese and chickens. I get musr, you know what I mean? But he sat down and he says, but Rebbe, so the Rebbe says, so why do you come to me? He says, because Rebbe, you're the truth. You're the truth. Afal pichein. I want the truth. That's the godless. You have many stories like that. I keep on coming. Even though I know I'm not going to get the chicken. At the end of the day, I'm going to lose my chickens. But I'm coming to you. By Rabbi Strelis, it was Yadua that even if you're the wealthiest Jew, the second you signed up to be one of his chassidim, you went bankrupt. All of Rabbi Strelis, nothing. He didn't have a big chassidus. He didn't have a big chassidus, but the ones that he had, wow. The ones that he had, Rabbi Strelis, wow. Wow. Like what the Kuska said, you know, all I want, he had thousands in the Koskos, all I want was 300 Jews that would wear cabbage leaves on their heads. This is what he said. And would wear a gartla belt from straw and would wear shoes from, I forgot what he said, a piece of wood. And they would be able to go to the top of a mountain and scream out Be'emes from the top of their lungs. At the top of the lungs ain't Odorah, there's only you. That's what I wanted. And he walked away. He says, nah, it didn't work out. And he had a whole chassidus. That's all I wanted. Honest. Okay, to be continued.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.